Number 5 to 09, verses 5 to 7. And he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, fat and good. And behold, 7 ears thin and parched with the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 fat and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he slept signifies an obscure state, and dreamed a second time signifies what was provided. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, signifies the external knowledges of the natural joined together. Fat and good signifies to which the things of faith and charity could be applied. And behold, 7 ears thin signifies external knowledges of no use. And parched with the east wind signifies full of cupidities. Sprang up after them signifies appeared near. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 fat and full ears signifies that the external knowledges of no use expelled the good external knowledges. And Pharaoh awoke signifies a general state of enlightenment. And behold, it was a dream signifies in that obscurity. Number 5210. And he slept. This signifies an obscure state, as is evident from the signification of sleeping, namely, an obscure state. Moreover, in the spiritual sense, sleep is nothing else, just as wakefulness is nothing else than a clear state. For there is spiritual sleep when truths are in obscurity, and spiritual wakefulness when truths are in clearness. And in proportion to this clearness or obscurity, spirits are awake or asleep. From this it is plain that sleep means an obscure state. Number 5211. And dreamed a second time. This signifies what was provided, as is evident from the signification of dreaming, namely, what is provided. Number 5212. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk. This signifies external knowledges of the natural joined together, as is evident from the signification of ears or spikes of corn, namely, external knowledges belonging to the natural, see below. And from the signification of upon one stalk, namely, joined together. For in respect to their origin, things on one stalk are joined together. The reason why ears or spikes of corn signify external knowledges is that corn signifies the good of the natural. Because external knowledges are the containants of the good of the natural, as the ears are of the corn. For in general, all truths are vessels of good, and so also are external knowledges, for these are the lowest truths. Lowest truths, or truths of the exterior natural, are called external knowledges, because they are in man's natural or external memory, and because they partake for the most part of the light of the world, and hence can be represented and communicated to others by words, or by ideas expressed in words referring to the things of the world and its light. Things in the inner memory, however, so far as they partake of the light of heaven, are not called external knowledges, but truths, nor can they be understood except by this light, or expressed except by words, or ideas expressed in words, referring to things of heaven and its light. The external knowledges here signified by ears or spikes are external knowledges of the church. The reason why there were 2 dreams, one of the 7 kine and the other of the 7 ears of corn, is that in the internal sense both naturals, the interior and the exterior, are treated of, and in what follows, The rebirth of both. By the seven kine are signified the things of the interior natural called truths of the natural, and by the seven ears of corn, the truths of the exterior natural called external knowledges. Interior and exterior external knowledges are signified by ears of the river Euphrates, even to the river of Egypt, in Isaiah. It shall be in that day that Jehovah will shake off from the spike of the river, even unto the river of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one to another, ye sons of Israel. And it shall be in that day that a great trumpet shall be sounded, and they shall come that are perishing in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt. And they shall bow themselves to Jehovah in the mountain of holiness at Jerusalem. Those perishing in the land of Assyria denote interior truths, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt exterior truths or external knowledges. So also in Mark, the comparison with the blade, the ear, and the corn involves the rebirth of man by means of external knowledges, truths of faith, and goods of charity. Jesus said, "So is the kingdom of God, as when a man casteth seed upon the earth, then sleepeth and riseth night and day, but the seed germinates and grows while he knoweth not. For the earth beareth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." The kingdom of God, which is compared with the blade, the ear, and the corn, is heaven in man through regeneration. For one who has been regenerated has the kingdom of God within him, and becomes an image of the kingdom of God, or heaven. The blade is the first external knowledge. The ear is the external knowledge of truth thence derived. The corn is the derivative good. Moreover, the laws enacted as regards gleaning, and in regard to the liberty of plucking the ears from the neighbor's standing corn, and also in regard to eating no bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the offering of God was brought, represented the same things as those signified by ears. Number 5213. Fat and good. This signifies to which the things belonging to faith and charity could be applied, as is evident from the signification of fat when predicated of the external knowledges signified by ears of corn, namely, things capable of receiving the good of faith. Consequently, those to which the things of faith can be applied. For external knowledges are vessels, and when fatness is predicated of them, it signifies fitness to receive the things of faith from charity. And from the signification of good when predicated of the external knowledges signified by ears of corn, namely, those receptive of the good of charity, consequently, those to which the things of charity can be applied. That fat has regard to the things of faith and good to the things of charity is in accordance with the constant usage in the word, in which, wherever two adjectives are applied to one thing, one involves what is of faith and the other what is of charity. And this because of the marriage of truth and good in every detail of the word. That fat signifies the things of faith and good the things of charity is plain also from the foregoing parallel passages about the kine. The external knowledges to which the things of faith and of charity can be applied are very many, such as all those of the church signified by Egypt in a good sense, and consequently all those which are true about correspondences, representatives, significatives, influx, order, intelligence and wisdom, and the affections, and also all truths of inner and outer nature both visible and invisible, because these correspond to spiritual truths. Number 5214. And behold, 7 ears, thin. This signifies useless external knowledges, as is evident from the signification of ears, namely external knowledges, and from the signification of thin, namely useless. For thin is here contrasted with full, and that is said to be full in which there is use, or what is the same thing in which there is good. For every good thing is of use, and therefore thin is what is of no use. The useless external knowledges are those which have no other end than glory and pleasure. These ends are useless because they do not benefit the neighbor. Number 5215. And parched with the east wind. This signifies full of cupidities, as is evident from the signification of parched with the east wind, namely, consumed by the fire of cupidities. For the east wind and the east, in the true sense, are love to the Lord and love to the neighbor. Hence, in the opposite sense, they are love of self and love of the world. Consequently, evil desires and cupidities. For these belong to the latter loves. Fire is predicated of these things for the reason given above, and consequently, to be parched is predicated of them. For there are two sources of heat, as also of light. One source of heat is the sun of the world, and the other source is the sun of heaven, which is the Lord. It is known that the sun of the world pours forth heat into its world, and into all things therein. But that the sun of heaven pours heat into the whole heaven is not so well known. And yet this may be known if anyone will reflect upon the heat within man, called vital heat, that has nothing in common with the heat of this world. From this it might be known that the former heat is different from the heat of this world, that it is living, while that of this world is not living, and that because spiritual heat is living, it kindles man's interiors, namely his will and understanding, and enables him to desire, to love, and to be affected. For this reason also, desires, loves, and affections are spiritual heat, and are so called. That they are heat is very manifest, for heat is exhaled on all sides from living bodies, even in the greatest cold. And also when the desires and affections, that is, the loves, grow warmer, the body also grows warm in the same degree. This is the heat meant in the word by burning, fire, and flame. And in the true sense, it is heavenly and spiritual love, but in the opposite sense, bodily and earthly love. From this it is evident that being parched with the east wind here means being consumed by the fire of cupidities, and when predicated of external knowledges which are the thin ears of corn, it means that they are full of cupidity. That the east wind signifies what pertains to cupidities and the derivative fantasies is evident from the passages where it is mentioned in the word, as in David. He made the east wind to go forth in the heavens, and by his power he brought forth the south wind. And he made it rain down flesh upon them as dust, and winged fowl as the sand of the sea. That by the flesh which that wind brought are signified evil desires, and by the winged fowl the derivative fantasies, is plain in Moses, where it is said that the name of the place in which the people were smitten with a plague because of their eating flesh was called the Graves of Lust, because there they buried the people that lusted. In Ezekiel, behold, the vine that has been planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind toucheth it? Upon the plots of its shoots it shall wither. And again, "The vine was plucked up in anger. It hath been cast forth to the earth, and the east wind hath withered its fruit. All the rods of its strength have been plucked off and withered. The fire hath devoured every one. For fire hath gone forth from a rod of its branches. It hath devoured its fruit, so that there is not in it a rod of strength, a scepter for ruling." Here the east wind denotes what pertains to cupidities. In Isaiah, "He meditated upon his rough wind in the day of the east wind." In Hosea, "The east wind shall come, the wind of Jehovah coming up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall make a prey of the treasure of all pleasant vessels." Here also the east wind denotes what pertains to cupidities. Likewise in Jeremiah, "As the east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy." In David, "With the east wind thou wilt break the ships of Tarshish." In Isaiah, "Thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with the east wind, and the soothsayers are Philistines." In Hosea, "Ephraim feedeth on wind, and followeth after the east wind. Every day he multiplieth a lie and a devastation." Wind here denotes fantasies, and the east wind, cupidities. Similar also is the meaning in the internal sense of the east wind, by which locusts were brought, and by which they were driven into the sea, and also by which the waters of the sea Suf were divided. Number 5216. "Sprang up after them." This signifies appearing near, as is evident from the signification here of springing up, namely, appearing, and from the signification of after them, namely, near or in the boundary. Like the signification of the evil and lean kine coming up after them, that is, after the beautiful and fat kine. After them means near, because after denotes what is successive in time. And in the spiritual world, and consequently in the spiritual sense, there is no notion of time, but instead of it, the kind of state that corresponds. Number 5217. "And the thin ears swallowed up the seven fat and full ears." This signifies that the useless external knowledges expelled the good, as is evident from the signification of the thin ears, namely, useless external knowledges, and from the signification of the fat and full ears, namely, external knowledges to which the things of faith and charity could be applied, consequently, good external knowledges, and from the signification of swallowing up as being to expel, the same as eating up, which is said above of the kine. That the good were expelled by the useless knowledges, or that truths were banished by falsities, may be seen above. So also it is in the spiritual world. Where falsities are, truths cannot subsist, and on the other hand, where truths are, falsities cannot subsist. The one expels the other, for they are opposites. The reason is that falsities are from hell, and truths are from heaven. It sometimes appears as if there are falsities and truths in one subject, but these are not falsities opposite to the truths therein, but are those which are associated by applications. The subject in which truths and at the same time falsities opposite to them subsist is called lukewarm, and the subject in whom falsities and truths are mingled is called profane. Number 5218. "And Pharaoh awoke." This signifies a general state of enlightenment, as is evident from what was explained above, where the same words occur. Number 5219. And behold, it was a dream. This signifies in that obscurity, as is evident from the signification of a dream, namely, an obscure state. It is called obscure because truths had been expelled. For where there are no truths, there is obscurity, because the light of heaven flows only into truths. For the light of heaven is divine truth from the Lord. Hence the truths with angels and spirits and also with men are subsidiary lights, but they have their light from the divine truth by means of the good in the truths. For unless truths are from good, that is, unless they have good in them, they cannot receive any light from the divine. They receive it by means of good, for good is like fire or flame, and truths are like the rays of light therefrom. In the other life, truths without good do indeed shine, but they shine with a wintry light, that in the light of heaven becomes thick darkness. From this it is evident that what is here meant by obscure is the state of the natural when the good external knowledges had been banished by those of no use. Obscurity like this can be enlightened in a general manner, but obscurity which comes from falsities can by no means be enlightened. For falsities are so many darknesses that shut out the light of heaven, and thus cause an obscurity that cannot be enlightened until the falsities have been removed. Number 5220, verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, and no one interpreted these things to Pharaoh. And it came to pass in the morning signifies in this new state. That his spirit was troubled signifies disturbance. And he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. Signifies in consulting interior as well as exterior knowledges. And Pharaoh told them his dream, signifies about things to come. And no one interpreted these things to Pharaoh, signifies that it was not known what would happen. Number 5221. And it came to pass in the morning. This signifies in this new state, as is evident from the signification of it came to pass, or it was, as involving what is new, and from the signification of the morning, as being a state of enlightenment. This is that new state which is meant. This state and its nature are treated of here, showing that there was disturbance therein by reason of obscurity regarding what was happening. But as regards the nature of this state, scarcely anyone can know anything unless he is in the spiritual sphere and at the same time pays attention to what is taking place within him. Otherwise he cannot even know what it is to be generally enlightened and particularly enlightened, nor even what it is to be enlightened at all. Still less that there is a disturbance at first in a general state of enlightenment, and that there is no quiet until truths from good are restored in their order. How this is clearly perceived by the angels and also by good spirits, because they are in a spiritual sphere. To be wise in such subjects and to think about them is delightful to them. But to the man who is in a natural sphere, and more to one who is in a sensuous sphere, and still more to one who is in a grossly sensuous sphere from bodily and earthly things, such subjects are wearisome. Number 5222. His spirit was troubled. This signifies disturbance, as is evident from the signification of being troubled in spirit, namely, being disturbed. Spirit here, as occasionally elsewhere in the word, means interior affection and thought, which also are the spirit of man. The ancients called these the spirit, but by the spirit they meant specifically the interior man that would live after the death of the body. While at this day, the spirit used in this sense means mere thought, and this without any subject other than the body in which it may be. This is because it is no longer believed that the interior man is the man himself. It is believed that the interior man, who is commonly called the soul or spirit, is mere thought without a subject adapted thereto, and that consequently, being thought without a containing subject, it will be dissipated after the death of the body, like something ethereal or flamy. This is what at the present day is understood by spirit, as in the expressions troubled in spirit, sad in spirit, glad in spirit, or rejoicing in spirit. Yet it is the interior man himself that is the spirit, and that is troubled, is sad, is glad, and rejoices, and though invisible to bodily sight, is in a perfectly human form in which thought resides. Number 5223. And he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. This signifies, in consulting external knowledges, interior and exterior, as is evident from the signification of magicians, namely, in a good sense, external knowledges that are interior, and from the signification of wise men, namely, external knowledges that are exterior. The reason why the magicians and wise men of Egypt signified knowledge is that Egypt was one of the kingdoms in which the representative ancient church existed. But in Egypt, attention was paid chiefly to the external knowledges of that church, which related to correspondences, representatives, and significatives. And by these were unfolded the things written in the books of the church, and those that had place in their holy worship. Hence it came about that Egypt, and also Pharaoh, its king, signified external knowledges in general. The chief among those who were skilled in and taught these knowledges were called magi or magicians and wise men. Those who were skilled in mystical external knowledges were called magicians, and those skilled in such as were not mystical were called wise men. Consequently, those who taught interior external knowledges were called magicians, and those who taught exterior were called wise men. For this reason, such knowledges are signified in the word by magicians and wise men. But after they began to misuse the interior external knowledges of the church and to turn them into magic, then Egypt, and likewise the magicians of Egypt and her wise men, began to signify the external knowledge which perverts. The magicians of that time understood the things of the spiritual world, which they learn from the correspondences and representatives of the church. And therefore many of them were in communication with spirits, and in this way learned deceptive arts, by which they performed magical miracles. But those called wise men did not care for such things, but solved difficult problems and taught the causes of natural things. In such things as these, the wisdom of that time chiefly consisted, and skill in them was called wisdom, as is evident from what is related of Solomon in the first book of Kings. Solomon's wisdom was multiplied above the wisdom of all the sons of the East, and above all the wisdom of the Egyptians, insomuch that he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. He spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Moreover, he spake of trees, from the cedars that are in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast and of fowl, and of creeping thing, and of fishes. Therefore there came of all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. See also what is related of the queen of Sheba in the same book. She came to try him with hard questions, and Solomon told her all words. There was not a word hid from the king that he told her not. This shows what was called wisdom at that time, and who were called wise, not only in Egypt, but also elsewhere, as in Syria, Arabia, and Babylon. But in the internal sense, the wisdom of Egypt means nothing but the knowledge of natural things, and magic the knowledge of spiritual things. Thus, wise men signify exterior, external knowledges, magicians, interior, external knowledges, and Egypt, knowledge in general. By Egypt and her wise men, nothing else was meant in Isaiah. The princes of Zoan are foolish. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How is it said unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of the kings of antiquity? Where now are thy wise men? That those were called magicians or magi, who had knowledge of spiritual things, and also revelations thence, is plain from the magi who came from the east to Jerusalem, asking where he was that was born king of the Jews, and saying that they had seen his star in the east and were come to worship him. The same is also evident from Daniel, who is called the prince of the magicians. And again, the queen said to King Belshazzar, There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Therefore the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father made him prince of the magicians, diviners, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Again, among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. For when they stood before the king, in every word of wisdom, of understanding concerning which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and diviners that were in his realm. It is known that in the opposite sense, magicians, such as those mentioned in Exodus, are those who have perverted spiritual things and thereby have practiced magical arts. For magic was nothing but a perversion and a perverted application of things relating to order in the spiritual world. From this came magic. But such magic is at this day called natural, because nothing above or beyond nature is now recognized. And what is spiritual is denied, unless thereby is understood an inner natural. Number 5224. And Pharaoh told them his dream. This signifies about things to come, as is evident from the signification of a dream, namely foresight, prediction, the event, and thus things to come. The subject in the internal sense becomes clear from the context. This verse treats of the new state of the natural, when it is in obscurity because truths have been expelled from it, and how there is then disturbance in it consulting external knowledges about things to come. For when such obscurity ensues, the thought at once occurs, what will the event be? As this is common during man's regeneration in every such state, this state is here described in the internal sense. But such states are unknown at this day, both because few are being regenerated, and because those who are being regenerated do not reflect upon such things. At this day man cares not what is taking place within him, because external things possess his whole attention, and internal things have no importance to one who is wholly occupied with external things, that is, for whom they are the ends of life. Regarding this obscurity, they would say, "What are these matters to me, as there is no money or honor to be gained from them? Why should I think about the state of the soul or the state of the internal man, whether it is in obscurity when truths have been expelled, or in clearness when they have been restored? What would it benefit me to know this? Whether there is any internal man is to me a matter of doubt, and also whether there is any other state of the soul than that of the body, nay, whether there is any soul that lives after death. Who has come back from the dead and declared it?" Thus speaks the member of the church with himself at this day, and thus he thinks when he hears or reads anything about the state of the internal man. This explains why the things that are taking place within man are at this day hidden and wholly unknown. Such obscurity of the understanding never existed among the ancients. It was their wisdom to cultivate interior things, and thus to perfect the faculties of both understanding and will, and thereby to provide for the welfare of their soul. That the ancients gave their attention to things like these is clear from their writings, which are even now extant, and also from the desire of all to hear Solomon. "Therefore there came of all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. And therefore came the queen of Sheba, who, delighted by the wisdom of Solomon, said, 'Blessed are thy men, blessed are these thy servants, who stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom.' Who at this day would call himself blessed for this reason?" Number 5225. "And no one interpreted these things to Pharaoh." This signifies that it was not known what would happen, as is evident from the signification of interpreting, namely, knowing what would happen. Hence, "no one interpreted" denotes lack of knowledge. For in the internal sense, no one is the negative of a thing, and thus what is not. For the idea of a person is turned in the internal sense into the idea of a thing, as, for instance, the idea of a man, a husband, a woman, a wife, a son or daughter, a boy or maiden, is turned into the idea of truth or of good. And as above, the idea of a magician and a wise man is turned into that of external knowledges, interior and exterior. The reason of this is that in the spiritual world or in heaven, not persons but things are the subject of reflection. For persons limit the idea and concentrate it upon something finite, whereas things do not limit and concentrate it, but extend it to the infinite, thus to the Lord. For this reason also, no person named in the word is perceived in heaven, but in his stead the thing that is represented by that person. So also no people or nation is perceived, but only its character. Nay, not even is any historic statement of the word about a person, nation, or people known in heaven. And consequently, it is not known who Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelitish people, and the Jewish nation were. But it is there perceived what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelitish people, and the Jewish nation denote. And so in all other cases. Thus angelic speech is without limitation, and is also relatively universal.